Your thoughts drive your results. And there are proven tactics for having new thoughts so that you can have new results. And clearing a limiting belief and replacing it with an empowering, positive opposite of it is one of the keys to doing that.
Welcome to Learning Life.
And the thing that I've realized, from the CEO to the NFL football player to the janitor, we're our toughest critics and we're hardest on ourselves.
But you have to be willing to say and point out the things that need to be said.
The only way to grab somebody's attention is with a story.
Welcome to Learning Life with John Toda. My guest today is Julia Pimsleur. I don't know where to start with my introduction today because Julia is so amazing and also one of my dearest friends. She's a former documentary filmmaker, successful entrepreneur, author, founder of Million Dollar Women, and one of the greatest business coaches out there. And her second book just launched today. It's titled Go Big Now, 8 Essential Mindset Practices to Overcome Any Obstacle and Reach Your Goals. And it's just so awesome to have Julia here today on the launch day. Julia Pimsleur, welcome to Learning Life.
John, it's so great to be here with you. This is going to be so much fun.
Yes. So tell us all about it. Today we are recording and this episode will be out immediately after the launch. So tell us, what is going on with the launch for Go Big Now?
Yeah, today is a big day. The book is officially hitting the stores and is available, you know, for purchase everywhere. And it's been a 2-year journey. So super excited to be launching the book today and sharing this time with you and the Learning Life listeners.
I think a lot of people know you as the founder of Million Dollar Women. We talk about that all the time. But how is the message a little bit different this time with Go Big Now? Tell us a little bit about the focus and why it's so important.
Yeah, I've been lucky to have access to a lot of amazing mentors and coaches and some of the top thinkers in the mindset world. And in fact, the last 15 years, and you and I have known each other at least, you know, 10 or 12 of them, I think, I've had one foot in the business world, growing my own multimillion-dollar business, Little Pim, mentoring other people and coaching people to grow their businesses to a million and beyond. And then I've had another foot in the personal development world, mainly because when I had to make my big changes in my business, I found my biggest obstacle was really me. You know, I was in my own way and I needed help to make some big mindset shifts to make the big changes I needed to make. And, you know, happy to tell that story. But just to quickly answer your question, I realized that most people know it's important to have a powerful mindset. They've heard that word, mindset. They're maybe not exactly sure what it means, but they usually don't know how to get a powerful mindset and where they would even start. So I wrote the book so that everyone can get access to the top thinking and teaching and training around mindset in the form of, you know, a book on your nightstand or an audio book in your pocket, and reach their goals with greater joy and ease. Really, that's what it's all about.
I love it. And I think you have impacted so many people, so many entrepreneurs who you've helped.
Thank you.
And you're such a great coach, and you really do take a personal interest in everybody that you work with. And when you, and of course, with Million Dollar Women, you were so focused on helping women entrepreneurs. With Go Big Now, is there a specific audience that you're really looking to help with this message, or is it a little broader this time?
You know, I the seeds of Go Big Now grew in the Million Dollar Women community, in the sense that, you know, we have about 25,000 women in our smaller universe, about 1.2 million women across the country who are part of Million Dollar Women. And I've been coaching these mindset practices for the last 5 years, helping people get rid of limiting beliefs, get rid of competing commitments, find ways to interrupt negative thoughts and replace them with positive ones, and have just seen such tremendous results that I decided to create a book that was for everyone. Because look, not just women have mindset issues. We do have some issues that I think are specific to us. Like, for instance, women often feel like we're not enough. That's a number one limiting belief that women tend to have, like not pretty enough, not smart enough, not thin enough, right? You could see how the popular culture might reinforce that. You only have to look at a women's fashion magazine once, right, to realize where women might be getting that idea. But men have their own limiting beliefs, right? I didn't go to the right schools, so I can't possibly get that job. Or I'm not, you know, from the right background. We get in our way in so many different ways. So with the new book, I'm now able to help anybody who has a big dream or a big goal to not only set out to achieve it, but to stay on track and get there. Because ultimately, John, that's the hardest part. I mean, you know the Nike slogan, right? What's the Nike slogan, John?
Just do it.
Right. Just do it. Okay. So we're all rings with that. Everybody can cite just do it. And while that's an exciting rally cry, you know from your own experience building a business that just do it is about 10% of success. Right? Right. I'm going to go for it. Great. You're about 10% there. It's the other 90% where we need the most help and where we usually don't get it, in the form of mindset shifting, in the form of new skills, in the form of spending time with people who we haven't usually spent time with, right? You and I were both in the Entrepreneurs Organization, where we put ourselves in rooms of people on a regular basis who might have been way ahead of where we are in order to stretch us forward. So that's what the book is about. It's that other 90% that I think doesn't get taught enough.
Yeah, and I think what I always think of mindset, and I think a lot of people kind of make this connection where, oh, it's a bunch of hooey, you know, like you're going to get your mind in the right thing and good things are going to happen. But it's more than that, right? Because I think you're talking about it from an execution perspective, that you can have like the BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal, right? But then you've got to have the mindset to execute on it and to follow through no matter what the obstacle is. Is that what these 8 practices are really designed around?
That's exactly it. Because look, I'm not a very woo-woo person, right? You've known me for a long time. I don't think I own a crystal, right? And I don't, you know, go to silent meditation retreats for 10 days. But I have learned these mindset practices from some of the best leaders of today that are very practical and tactical, that a business person can take and use right away. You know, things like self-compassion, things like choosing results over reasons, things like interrupting negative thought patterns and replacing them with positive ones. These are actual practical exercises that I've done and my coaching clients have done that have allowed them to, you know, raise millions of dollars in venture capital, double their revenues, get, you know, promoted to the corner office. So it's really mindset as a means to an end. Like, you want to have a happier life and you want to reach your business goals along the way.
Just for our audience, anyone who doesn't know you or didn't listen to your first episode with us, which go back in our archives if you haven't listened to that episode, because it was awesome and we talked about Million Dollar Women. But I think it's interesting because you kind of operate this way. Tell them what Million Dollar Women stands for. And I think that's a good example, right? Because you set this really big goal and then you had to execute these mindset practices yourself. And I've watched you do it along the way, even getting yourself trained and going and getting additional development all the time. Tell us what Million Dollar Women meant and why that is kind of the foundation for how you shaped your mindset practices.
Yeah. I mean, one of the top mindset practices I teach is called design your outcomes. So most people get up every morning and say, well, I hope things work out for me. Right. But when you have a go big dream, or in my case, you know, my go big goal was to help 1 million women get to 1 million in revenues. That's why I started Million Dollar Women. The most successful people don't just kind of wake up and hope it all works out. Right. I mean, if you ever talk to a successful CEO or Olympic athlete, you know, one thing you'll never hear them say is, well, it just happened. Right. Right. It just happened. No, the people who achieve success are very intentional about it. And they set a big goal and then they do what's called reverse engineering, right? It's a term borrowed from engineering where you can take apart any, you know, car or electronic device and figure out how did they put this thing together? And I'm going to do the same. So that's what reverse engineering is. You set a goal and then you figure out how to go backwards and put all the pieces into place to get to that goal. And you're absolutely right. Million Dollar Women grew out of that same kind of thinking, where I was just kind of appalled when I learned the statistics that fewer than 3% of women entrepreneurs ever get to 1 million in revenues, and fewer than 1% women of color. Whereas for men, it's more like 6%. So men are twice as likely to get to 1 million in revenues. And that really spurred me on to start thinking about, all right, well, since I had gotten there with my first company, Little Pim, my language teaching company for young children, I started helping other women to do the same. And it was really about, how do I set this big goal of moving the needle on those statistics? And then once I set the goal, well, what would someone be doing who is trying to move the needle on those statistics? Well, they'd be writing about it. They would be teaching. They'd be educating others. So I started doing all those things. And that led me to help 75 women raise a collective $15 million over a few years just by teaching them in my conference room. That's really where Million Dollar Women started. And then that led to me writing the book, Million Dollar Women, which got picked up by a major publisher. And all of a sudden, I had all these women contacting me from all over the country looking for coaching. So Million Dollar Women, the organization, evolved out of that book being published and wanting to help more women. But I didn't know about any of that, right? When I set the big goal of just how do I be a change maker on this issue that matters so much to me? And it's that kind of thinking that Go Big Now will help everybody to do, right? Rather than be at the whim of what happens to you in life, how can you design your outcomes?
Yeah. And so this is so great for me to have this discussion with you because I knew you when we first met, you were running Little Pim. Million Dollar Women didn't even exist. And I remember when you started talking about it and you almost talk it into existence in a way. And I remember you saying, well, that's a really big goal, getting a million women to $1 million in revenue. But you execute as if that goal is a reality down the road. And I've watched you take all those steps and as you know, obviously I serve on your board at Million Dollar Women.
So. Yeah, you've been a big part of it. So yeah, thank you.
And I love it, seeing the progress. But, you know, I always joke, like you said, I remember when you automated the program and I told you a couple things. I said, oh, you should do this, this, and this. And the next time I saw you a few months later, you're like, oh, I've just enrolled an entire class doing that. And I said, wow, I never thought you'd actually execute on it. And so I think it is part of that execution model that you're just very disciplined on. Okay, let's take a quick break here to talk about our sponsor and good friends of the show, eLearning Brothers. In case you haven't heard, eLearning Brothers is now one of the biggest players in learning and development. They've combined their huge asset library and award-winning custom team with the KnowledgeLink platform, Lectora and Scenario VR authoring tools, and most recently, the Game Agency and their revolutionary training arcades. This is all forming one company that is a one-of-a-kind e-learning solutions provider that can pretty much deliver everything your learning and development team needs under one roof. It's pretty awesome, and the people at eLearning Brothers are the best in the business. So check them out at elearningbrothers.com and see all the amazing things they can do for you now. And we're going to head back to the show. How do you tell people who are listening and they want to set a big goal like this, and regardless of where they're at right now, and just not deal with any objections or naysayers and just push it over the goal line. What was the one thing you keep coming back to every time you hit those obstacles?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the biggest things that holds us back, if not the thing, if you're only going to work on one mindset thing, this is it. Listen up. It is clearing limiting beliefs, or as I like to say, busting limiting beliefs. So a limiting belief, let me just define that, is a belief you have about yourself that keeps you small. So for instance, the way I started my mindset journey as a business person is when I had Little Pim, my language teaching company for young children, I wanted it to be a big, successful, multi-million dollar business, but I had no idea how to get it there. And I had a limiting belief that because I had not gone to business school and I didn't have a finance degree and my parents were professors, not entrepreneurs, that there was no way that I could run a multi-million dollar company. And I really believed that as though that was like the truth written in stone somewhere. And it really wasn't until I identified that limiting belief and busted it, which I then developed a method for doing that. So you guys can do it too. It's in Go Big Now, and it was even in Million Dollar Women. If I hadn't busted that limiting belief, I would not have been able to take the steps I took to go raise $6 million in venture capital, to hire teams, you know, to help me build out the company and to make it a multi-million dollar company. Because first we have to change the thinking and then we can change the actions. And that's one of the big messages of Million Dollar Women, is that your thoughts drive your results. And there are proven tactics for having new thoughts so that you can have new results, and clearing a limiting belief and replacing it with an empowering positive opposite of it is one of the keys to doing that.
Now, is that something that you do one time? You deal with it, you write it down somewhere, you know what your mental response is to a limiting belief? Or is it something that you have to keep coming back to and reiterating in your practice?
As someone who deals with a lot of learning, you know that very few things are once and done.
Right.
So yeah, this is not a once and done. It has four steps to busting a limiting belief. So the first step is to say it out loud to a trusted friend or mentor or coach, because usually when you say it out loud, it loses about half its power right there. And that's because usually these are just stories we've been telling ourselves over and over again, and they've like gathered all this weight until, you know, I like to describe it like it looks like a big oak tree out your window. Like it's always been there and it's always going to be there. But in fact, if you tell it to someone else, they might say, what? Well, why can't you run a multi-million dollar company just because you didn't go to business school? Lots of people do that, right? So that's step one, is to say it out loud and get some help with it. Step two is to write it down, because that too helps you to start getting it out of your head and onto paper. Then you work out what is the positive opposite of that limiting belief. So in my case, it was, I can absolutely run a multi-million dollar company. In fact, I'm the ideal person to run this multi-million dollar company, which was about language teaching for young children, which was in my family heritage. And I was super passionate about it as someone who was raised, you know, in the language teaching business. And I learned French as a kid. So I kind of flipped that whole script and made it, I'm the perfect person to run this million-dollar business. And then it's the last step that takes the longest and where people sometimes get stuck, John. And that last step is taking 10 action steps towards the positive opposite belief. And what that looks like is doing the kinds of things that people who don't have your limiting belief, in fact, they have the opposite belief, what are those people doing? And you kind of force yourself to do those things. And the first two or three you do feel very uncomfortable because they're usually things you've been avoiding your whole life, right? In my case, it was learn how to talk about my finances in a way that was compelling. Make sure I understood, you know, the margins in my company and could talk about what the finances would look like in 3 years, in 5 years. These are the parts of the company I had been avoiding. But someone who was able to run a multi-million dollar company, right, would be good at that. But by the time you do like step three or four and you get up to step 8, 9, and 10 of these things that are the positive opposite, it gets a lot more comfortable. And you start realizing you actually have become the person who had the opposite belief of the one you were trying to bust in the first place. And that's really where the magic happens. And then you can start over and try another one.
Yeah, exactly. So it's amazing to hear you break it down that way too. And I think it's refreshing for people to hear that, because I would imagine you always talk about it in the, I guess, the context of business and running your business in your case. But could this be the same for a college age kid who's trying to set some goals? Maybe it's in sports or school or something like that. Could they apply the same principles in that case?
Absolutely. And the truth is, when you're looking for limiting beliefs in your life, because sometimes people say to me, well, how do I know if I have a limiting belief? And the way you do is you look around at what you have. Let's say it's, you know, the amount of education you have, or the amount of money you have, or the kinds of relationships you have. And if you suspend judgment for a minute and don't judge any of it, but just say, okay, these are my results. We're just going to call them results. If there are any results you don't like, like, for instance, maybe you're afraid to apply to law school because you think, well, they wouldn't take someone like me. You know, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not good at doing interviews, or nobody in my family was ever a lawyer, right? That might be a limiting belief. So that's the best way to uncover them, is everything we have in our life that we like comes from an empowering belief. Like my mother always said to me when I was growing up, John, she always said, Julia, whatever you do, you will succeed at. Now, that was not entirely true, but it was a great thing to say to me because it allowed me to take a lot of risks, right? Starting companies and, you know, raising money and becoming a fundraiser. Those are all risk-taking type things. I scuba dive, right? I do a lot of things that are risk-taking because I have this empowering belief that I'll succeed at most of the things I do. Everything you have in your life that you like is from an empowering belief. Everything you don't have or wish you had but don't have is because you have a limiting belief keeping you from going for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. They're almost like the stories in your head that have kind of molded over time, and you commit to them. And I think, I guess, yeah, and you probably see this all the time, there's a comfort in a way with those limiting beliefs because you know them so well. Like you said, it's like an oak tree out your window, right? Yeah. It's comfortable to say, and this is, I guess, similar to when people say you want to push yourself into, you know, discomfort and get outside the box, same kind of concept. Those limiting beliefs have kind of put you in this box your whole life.
Yeah, I would take it a step further and say people build their entire identities sometimes around these limiting beliefs, right? Like I'm the kind of person who is always 50 pounds overweight because my parents were overweight and everyone in my family is overweight, right? And you start to get really settled into this story. And that's why this four-step exercise is so powerful, because it forces you to share it with someone else. And getting that outside perspective is sometimes just the thing you need to realize, like, hey, maybe this has been my story until now, but it doesn't have to be my story going forward. You know, I always like to say your past is not your future unless you decide to drop anchor and stay there.
Yeah. And so now tell me, and I think probably nowadays I'm more sensitive to this and how we impact our children. Yeah. And our kids are similar ages. Maybe because everyone's so, for the last year, we've been so close together during schooling and everything, that you might have trusted that you send them off to school and they will set their own goals and not fall prey to limiting beliefs and things like that. But that happens. You as a parent yourself, are you using any of these same practices, or are you trying to instill this type of thinking in your kids?
Yeah, we use all this stuff at home. You know, we at dinner, we start with three things that we're grateful for. It's our gratitude practice. So we're not a very religious family. We're Jewish, but not super practicing. And it's almost like the way Christians say grace. Like, we start with three things each of us is grateful for. And that always gets everybody back into kind of a positive state at the end of the day. We also set quarterly goals, each of us as individuals, and we have them up on the fridge. Because one thing I talk about in Go Big Now is when you write down your goals, there's a famous study in a California university, Dominican College, that said that written goals had a 42% higher chance of happening than unwritten goals. And so my kids write down their own goals. Now, they're their goals, right? The goal might be, I want to make 3 assists in soccer, or I want to help Adrian with his math homework more, right? Things like that. And because they see them all the time on the fridge, every time they get a snack, which you have boys, you know, that's a lot. And what's great about it is it removes the role of the parent as like, well, did you do this? Right. They'll just spontaneously say to me like, oh, hey, mom, guess what? I just got one of my goals. I just hit the next, you know, level in math at school or whatever it is, because it was their goal. When it's their own goal, they own it in a totally different way than if you set it for them.
Yeah. And so now, when you do this with your kids, are you then taking it one step further and helping them break it down into the actions they need to take to be successful? Because I know with my kids, they'll say, oh, yeah, I want to score a certain amount of points, or I want to make the AAU team. But then it's like you actually have to break it down a little further with kids and say, okay, well, then you need to shoot this many free throws every day. And are you helping them take it that far?
Mainly they've been able to get there on their own, but I also think that we have a family culture where everybody's always kind of pursuing something big, and we talk about the ways that we have failed or not failed. You know, I was very impacted by learning that Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx and one of the few women who's in the billionaires club in the US, that her father asked her at dinner every night, what did you fail at today? Because he knew that if she was failing at things, it meant that she was taking risks. And that's something we don't reward enough. So we do talk a lot at the dinner table about, you know, what did you try that worked or that didn't work? I don't like the term failure, but just trying a lot of things. And that's another page out of Go Big Now. I talk about the importance of taking massive action. Because most people you admire, whether it's, you know, a president or an athlete or a successful CEO, they're massive action takers, meaning they don't try one or two things. They try like 10 or 100 things. Like, have you ever read any of Richard Branson's books about all the crazy things he did to get Virgin Airlines off the ground, right? And it's like maybe 20 of them didn't work, but the ones that worked really worked.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's one of the important messages of Go Big Now, right? It's that you have to set these really big goals, no matter where you are in life or what you're trying to achieve. You know, even if you don't get to that goal, you're always going to be better than you were if you were just accepting the status quo, right?
That's exactly it. And you'll attract other people. I mean, look at us, right? We were friends. But then when I set my big goal of helping 1 million women get to 1 million in revenues, you were like, well, that resonates with me too, right? And you joined our board. We have about 10 other people who are on our board and advisory council. I wouldn't have been able to attract all these successful, helpful, fantastic people unless I had set that big goal that could attract people who also wanted to move the needle for women entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that's so interesting too, is that the goal itself is, and I've seen it with you and with other people, when you can illustrate that goal so clearly and communicate it, you speak it into existence, but also you attract people who can also be passionate about it. And I think it's great. So today, launch day for Go Big Now. Very exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Look, before the pandemic, I think mindset was seen as like a soft skill, right? Or like a nice to have. But in the pandemic and ensuing recession, I think people have realized, wow, having a powerful mindset is the difference between making a new plan and getting stuck, right? Yeah. We all built up a lot of mental resilience. In fact, I was reminded that diamonds are created under pressure. And we have all been pressure tested throughout this pandemic, right? How much pressure can you take? And either you break or you become a diamond. And so I think that's been one of the big things we've all learned, is that if we have a powerful mindset, we can create a diamond. I mean, we have women in our community who their revenues were up 60% this year, John, because when the pandemic hit, they didn't panic. They had the powerful mindset to gather their team and say, okay, you know what? Let's take this whole business online. And they gained customers across the country where they used to be local. Thinking of one woman, B, who's in Nashville, Tennessee, and runs a company called Women Repair Zone, where she helps women learn how to repair things in their own homes rather than having to pay a bunch of money to handy people. I was going to say handy men. It's mainly men.
Handy people.
I just made that up. So she was just operating locally, like in-person workshops, right? How to redo the wiring in your home, or how to like fix your, I don't know, I don't have a car, whatever you fix on the car.
New Yorker. New Yorker. Spoken like a true New Yorker.
Right? I don't even know enough to fix on that, but whatever it was, they couldn't fix it. So anyway, when the pandemic hit, she was in our program. And of course, we were rallying everyone, you know, starting with mindset and then right moving on to the business skills. And so we helped her figure out how to turn this into a video offering. And she's now national and has been written up in some magazines, has women all over the country showing up for her online workshops, figuring out how to do their own home repairs and car repairs, whatever those are.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so many stories like that, which I think it's so inspirational to see how people have pivoted and went from utter fear. And in some cases, you're in a business that you couldn't pivot. And that's obviously very unfortunate. But for a lot of people who could, it took a little while to adjust. But like you said, you kind of shift your mindset and you figure out how to persevere. And yeah, I think it'll be interesting. This might be a topic of yet another book for you, I would imagine, of looking at how mindset got people through this. I will ask you, I know you were working on Go Big Now for a long time, but a lot of the writing probably occurred, or the tail end of the writing occurred during the pandemic. Did you change anything, or did that have any influence on what went into Go Big Now?
Yeah, I was just finishing it up when the pandemic, you know, lockdown started. And so I did use, you know, examples of people in our community who I saw really rallying thanks to having a powerful mindset. But it did also feel like a big test of all of our mindsets, you know, going through the pandemic. I think in a way it made the book feel more relevant than ever, right? Because now so many people are needing to reinvent, John. And like you were saying, some people's businesses didn't make it. And of course, our hearts go out to them. And they now need to figure out, do I start a new business? Do I go work with someone? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the book is about how do you reinvent. I'm on my fourth career. I was a filmmaker, a nonprofit fundraiser. I started Little Pim, my language teaching company, and now I'm a coach, speaker, author. And each of those career shifts required major reinvention. So there's a lot of tools and practices in the book to help people who are trying to figure out what is my next step and how do I pursue that with some amount of joy and excitement rather than, you know, fear and anxiety. So that's a place I'm really excited to be able to help with the new book.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said it earlier, flip the script. And I think for everyone, no matter what this pandemic has done, a lot of us you want to flip the script in one way or another, whether things are still pretty good or better than they were. You also saw that you can reinvent yourself if you have the right mindset and thinking around it. So,
you did some reinvention too, right? I mean, you're launching the studio.
I know. I mean, I sold my company in the middle of the pandemic.
That's incredible.
I don't think we probably would have liked to have sold the company a year prior to the pandemic, but due diligence takes its time. Yes.
So you're in reinvention mode too, right? Because that's having left my own company, Little Pim. That's a big reinvention moment when you're no longer at the company you founded.
It is. And I think you and I probably have chatted about it, but it becomes your identity. You went through it with Little Pim for so long. That company, I mean, my company, Edgelance, I co-founded that in 2002. So, you know, it's 18 years of your life and then you sell it. And so, yeah, I think that there is a big reinvention mode. And I know you went through that with Little Pim too, but it's kind of fun in some ways. When you're an entrepreneur and you're so tied to your business, it's a limiting factor. I don't know if it's a limiting belief. It's a limiting factor in some way because everything kind of becomes part, you know, kind of fits in the confines.
Well, yeah, you have to be like a domain expert. So you have to put on these blinders, right? I remember when I left Little Pim, I was like, I don't think I want to have one more conversation at one more party about anyone's high school Spanish teacher.
Because
<All right. laughs> I was running a language teaching company. So immediately every conversation became, oh, well, I tried to learn Chinese, but it was too hard. And I was like, you know what? I'm just ready for some new conversations, right? And that's kind of reinventing.
I know. It's interesting, right? So, you know, and then you did Million Dollar Women and now Go Big Now. And so now you'll get interrupted at every cocktail party you're at to talk about how to go
big. Talk about mindset. Well, I am pumped for that. No, the truth is I write the books for the connection and the conversation. You know, I'm an extrovert. You've known me for years, right? I could be at events five nights a week if it was possible. So the idea of spending hours and hours and hours alone writing a book, that was not the joy part. You know, I like parts of it. For me, the joy is now, you know, being on this podcast with you, having this fascinating conversation, meeting people who share their own mindset stories and best practices and challenges with me. I did a clubhouse this morning for an hour with people from all over the country who had incredible stories. And so this is really my sweet spot now is getting to be part of this national and international conversation about the intersection of business, mindset, and wellness.
Yeah, I think it's great to see too, because I think a lot of people, once you get the book out, this all feels like work. And I know you so well that this is the reward for you.
This is the fun part.
Right, exactly. So now tell our audience, if they want to learn more about Go Big Now, get the book, where are the best places to go? Website, of course, I'm sure you can buy the book anywhere.
Yeah, and it's available on Audible for people who'd rather listen to it. I did do the audio recording, which, you know, interestingly, talk about a meta moment, John. You know, here I wrote a whole book about mindset and you can, you know, conquer your bad thoughts and all that. My inner critic was going bananas the entire time I was recording the book. I mean, I felt like my inner critic was just screaming, like, you sound terrible on audio. This book has so many run-on sentences. Why didn't anybody catch this? I could barely stand myself by the end of each day. So it was like a good reminder that no matter how far along you get in business, like, this is ongoing work, this mindset work. And having practices and having a community of other people who acknowledge the importance of this is really the difference between, you know, getting to your dreams and getting stuck when you hit the big obstacles. I'm a big believer in that.
Yeah, that's interesting too, reading your own book, because you're actually criticizing your writing while you're recording, I guess, in the process, right?
Oh my God, it was miserable.
So Audible, so I am going to get it on Audible. I'll be happy to listen to you narrating the book to me. And is there a website for Go Big Now, or should everyone go to juliapimsler.com?
You put everything at juliapimsler.com, including a very robust workbook that's free when you buy the book so that you can do all the exercises and have some big ahas. I make a promise in the book I stand by, which is at least one thing in this book will change your life. So go find it. It's up to you to find it. But these exercises really are life-changing. And you'll recognize some of them, John, because one of them came from our mutual friend, Corey Kupfer, who taught me an exercise called 5-3-1, which is about planning out your life in 5 years, 3 years, and 1 year. And there's a very specific way of doing it that he taught me that I taught in the book, crediting him, of course. So you want to have a place to do all this, which is why we created this robust workbook.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. So for all our listeners, go to juliapimsler.com. You can check out everything Julia is up to there and learn more about her. And get Go Big Now wherever you get your books. I'm sure it'll be another big bestseller for you. So I'm super excited to have you with us today, Julia. Congratulations.
Thank you. This has been so much fun, and having you in my corner, keeping me laughing, helping to boost me up in the hard times, and going after the big vision of Million Dollar Women has been just one of the best and most valued parts of the journey for me. So thank you.
Thank you. It's been an honor. And I am looking forward to seeing where Go Big Now goes. So thank you for being here today. And for our audience, thank you for being here each week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every Tuesday. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe. Leave us comments. We love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey everyone, John Tota here. I want to thank you for tuning into the show each week. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you would take a minute to rate us and write a review for Learning Life wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great interviews on the topics you care most about.